It is 5:45 in the morning and 22 degrees. And we got our buddy Jason Cans on the line from jasoncans.com. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm here. I'm reporting for duty, sir. Our question of the morning is kind of fun, which is, so Michael debuted as a freshman wrestler for Eau Claire North last night in a dual meet at Memorial. And so we're using that as inspiration for our question. What's your favorite high school sports memory, either as a player, a fan, or a coach? So you're hearing this for the first time. I know you played high school football. Is that where you're going to go or what?
I think I will go to high school football. I was on the track team. I played football, and I was a wrestler for a couple of years. But I think for me, it was football. I think I suited up as a sophomore in high school for a game, and we were playing against a team. We were playing against Kohler, Wisconsin, and there was somebody who just couldn't be stopped. He kept running around the one end, and our defensive end couldn't stop him. And so the coach asked me to step in. I had never played in a game before, and I managed three tackles to keep them from scoring a touchdown as a sophomore. And so that was kind of fun.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Good memory.
Yeah.
Mine is actually a boys high school basketball game, the early 90s, Bloomer at Ellsworth. This is before the double bonus, meaning that when you got your 10th team foul, instead of one and one, you got two shots, which is now the rule and has been for many years. Bloomer was down 94-76 with about a minute four to go, and they hit a three-pointer to make it 94-79. They continued the flurry, outscoring Ellsworth 19-1 in the final 60-plus seconds, forced overtime at 95, only to lose 98-95.
Wow, that's impressive.
Remembering that game 30 years later. So.
Yeah, having grown up in Oostburg, basketball is kind of in the blood there, and so I love stories like that.
So as you're about, what, 6'3", 6'4"?
Yeah, I used to say I was 6'4", but I have to say I'm 6'3 now. I'm shrinking.
Was there a time in your life that you were peppered with, do you play basketball?
Yeah, in fact, the coach, when I was a freshman, the high school coach, tried to get me to join the team because I could also jump pretty high. I believe it or not, I high jumped for a little while in high school.
Huh.
And so he tried to get me to play, and I said, no, I'm going to play hockey, which I not only never played hockey, I can't even ice skate. it turned out, it's one of my greatest high school regrets is that I didn't play basketball because I think I was built for it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So,
well, we'll miss that.
But,
Hey, we need a devotion from you to head into the weekend. Please consecrate our day and our weekend for us. What is it? Notes from the Upper Room.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so we're on John 15:9 today. And it says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. And I wrote, what a breathtaking truth. The love between the Father and Son is ever-flowing perfection. The Trinity has eternally delighted in one another. Their divine dance is eternally full of joy and complete commitment to one another, so much so that they are truly one. There is a constant interpenetrating flow of love between them. Jesus not only reflected upon the love that exists between him and the Father, but said to the disciples, as much as the Father has loved me, which is infinite and perfect, that is how much I love you. The Father delights in the Son, and the Son delights in his disciples. The Father is pleased with the Son, and the Son is pleased with the disciples. The Father lives in perfect union with the Son, and the Son lives in perfect union with us. These are astounding truths. Then Jesus said to them, abide in my unending love for you. Don't wander away from it. Stay put. Your completeness is found right here in me.
That's beautiful. And we're going to want you to close us out with the prayer as well. But I love that the divine dance of the Trinity and the interactivity between them and that relational. And it needs to be, it must be our relational inspiration for all of our relating, right?
Absolutely. And again, I think we see that as we get further along and get into John 17, we'll see that I think even more fully. But I think that was, your word for the year is relationship. And that really is what it's all about.
Yeah. One other note here this morning. I'd mentioned it just a little bit bottom of the hour, but Capitol police officer dies from injuries after clashing with the folks at the Capitol just a couple of days ago. So a fifth death out of that. Maybe we'll get more from SRN News. But again, thoughts and prayers for our nation as we proceed here during the month of January, right? Why don't you close us out with your prayer for today's devotion?
Yeah. So I wrote, Jesus, it is a miraculous thing that you love me as the Father loves you. My finite mind cannot grasp this infinite truth. Help me to live in the reality of what I can understand today as you stretch the borders of my mind even further to live in your love for all eternity.
Great line. Amen. Stretch the borders of our mind. Absolutely. Well, we're throwing out a question to you this morning having to do with high school sports. What's a favorite memory of yours, either as a high school athlete or also maybe as a coach, a fan? Mine was as a broadcaster. Early 90s, we did Bloomer at Ellsworth. It was February of 91. And the Bloomer boys were down 94-76. There was no double bonus, meaning you kept fouling and they kept going to the line. You had to make the first to get the second. Just over a minute to go, Bloomer hits a three, makes it 94-79. They hit a total of five threes in that final 60-plus seconds. And Ellsworth didn't hit their fouls. They tied the game at 95 just before the buzzer. It was thrilling. Man. They lost in overtime 98-95.
Isn't that like, you know, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat,
know,
too, when it's
it
like,
really
oh, my
was.
Goodness, what a comeback.
I know.
And then
so much energy expent catching up, so.
We'd love to hear your memory again as a participant, an athlete, or a spectator, as a parent, as a coach. Uh-huh. 715-396-1670. Leave us a voicemail with that high school sports memory, 396-1670. Now, as a homeschooler, I didn't get the opportunity to play sports in high school. Not sure I would have had any Kodak moments anyway, but I think as a broadcaster, it's tough to pick them out, but I think been privileged to be for well over a decade now a broadcaster for McDonald basketball, and when they won their first state championship in the WIAA level, going down to the Kohl Center, just again, what an amazing venue there, and so being able to broadcast a team that I love that had worked so hard, I'd been able to broadcast all throughout the year, to see them get to state and then seal the deal and win it. Those final seconds ticking down when you knew that gold ball was coming home to Chippewa Falls, that was something too that, hey, as a broadcaster, you felt like, wow, just to have a part in this, to bring it to everyone at home was amazing.
Yeah, so cool. I remember hearing you make the call. I mean, that was fantastic. And they've had a number of trips to state subsequent, right?
Yeah, so. Yeah. So you're always hoping for that next one, but still the great memories from before. We'd love to hear from you, friends, at 715-396-1670. What's that favorite high school sports memory? Parent, coach, fan, participant?
Yeah, for my high school memory, I'm from Whitehall High School. And for my junior year in track, I ran the 800 meter, 1600 meter, and 3200 meter race. And I ran them all in one night. And the coach said, oh, just make it interesting, you know, try to place well. I ran a personal record in all three events that night. So he was like, well, I guess you definitely made it interesting that night. So that was my favorite high school memory, was track and field, running the three farthest distances and setting my personal best record in all three distances. And when I was just told to make it interesting. So yeah, that is my highlight. And this was from Aaron Decker in Whitehall.
Well, after a little break for the holidays, we're back together again with our Friday morning tradition. Howell, this is where we just aggregate all the news of the week. And man, there's a lot of it in terms of news, sports, politics, pop culture. And because we respect your time, friends, we bring it to you in condensed form. We call it headlines. Here we go.
A woman in Brazil last month was shot by a stray bullet while watching TV and managed to walk away to a nearby hospital where she was treated for what turned out to be, thankfully, a minor injury.
She actually took the bullet home for her 12 days of Christmas display so she can have a cartridge in a pear tree. But lots of people are trying to watch what they ate over the holidays, Alvo.
Yeah, I'm trying to only eat gingerbread men who have been on the keto diet.
Smart.
Yeah, thank you. A study shows that long-term use of aspirin dramatically cuts the risk of dying from a wide array of cancers.
That's cool and all, but I'm still waiting for good news from the long-term cheesecake use
study. Yeah, looking forward to that one as well.
If you are the ultimate fan of Apple and buy all of their top-of-the-line products and services, you will spend $80,000.
Yeah, but with that many apples, I'll definitely keep the doctor away, right?
Smart.
Yeah. Doctors in India removed dozens of metal objects from a man's stomach.
The surgery took longer than the doctors had planned because the man woke up once during the operation and swallowed two scalpels and a stethoscope.
Wow.
A scientific survey shows that men are not as empathetic to their female partner as she is to him.
In fact, the scientists had trouble finding enough men who even cared enough to take the survey.
Guilty.
Yeah. A rare letter signed by Steve Jobs is up for auction and could bring, get this now, $25,000.
Not bad, but the protective case for that rare letter will set you back $5,000.
Uh-huh.
Federal tax forms will be hitting your mailbox soon.
In an attempt to show it as a human side, the IRS has come up with what it thinks is a catchy new slogan. We've got what it takes to take what you've got.
Catchy. Those are your headlines. And now you're all caught up. Today marks an anniversary. 65 years ago today, if you've read the book by Elizabeth Elliot, Through Gates of Splendor, it's about the story of her husband, Jim Elliot, who, along with his missionary friends, had Operation Alca in Ecuador, attempting to evangelize the Huarani people of Ecuador. And Jim Elliot gave his life in that quest, as it seemed like they were making great progress with the Alca Indians. They went on a mission, leaving their wives behind. These men went on a mission to further evangelize the Alca people and instead were murdered. And the world might look at that and call it a waste and say, what a futile attempt. But like the song from Jason Gray says, in the hands of the Father, in the hands of our gracious sovereign Redeemer, nothing is wasted. And so if you read that book, these murderous people were called to Christ, were changed through the sacrifice of these faithful ones who did not hold so tightly to the things of this life as to consider their life too valuable to give up. And there's a quote that popped up on my Facebook memories today from Jim Elliot. Again, 65 years ago today, he said this famously, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." 65 years ago today, friends, may we also be found faithful. All right, you know we're sports fans, so give us a moment here. This is like Christmas has come again if you're a football fan, because we have six games on Saturday and Sunday, and I'm trying to think, how many errands could I run this afternoon on my lunch break or after work so that I could just plop down on the easy chair and watch a lot of football?
Let's take them in the order that they'll unfold over the weekend. Three on Saturday, three on Sunday. The first one, a good one, as Frank Reich, he goes home to Buffalo where he led that amazing comeback back in the day. It's Indy at Buffalo. Who do you like?
You know, I like Philip Rivers. I like Indy. I like Frank Reich. But I think Buffalo is about the hottest team in the NFL right now. I'm taking the Bills.
Yeah, I am with you. Indy is very solid. Jonathan Taylor, the running back. I mean,
yeah.
I think he could have a good game.
He had over 200 yards last week.
Right, but I think, how do you pick against Buffalo at home? They are red hot, so we both agree there. L.A. at Seattle, game two on Saturday.
I'm going to go with, I think we're going to differ on this one. I'm going to go with the Seahawks. I think Russell Wilson plays at a very high level. I think their safety, Jamal Adams, is going to be able to play just enough. I don't know his injury status, but probably just enough to make a difference. So, yeah, Seahawks.
Actually, we're going to agree on that. I just wrestled with that more than any of the six games because the Rams' defense has impressed me all season long. Jared Goff apparently is going to play a little bit beat up. Seattle beat the Rams the last time they played late in the regular season. And, I'm not going to go against Russell Wilson. I think the Seahawks, like you say, their defense has gotten better late in the year. Two agreements, Tampa Bay at Washington, Tom Brady with the Bucks.
Tom Brady,
yeah.
TB12, he's too good.
Yeah.
Love Alex Smith, but all Tom Brady and the Bucks there.
We agree there as well. So we move on to Sunday, Baltimore at Tennessee.
Ooh, last year, Henry's fantastic.
Yeah, Tennessee knocked Baltimore out last year, right?
Yeah. Man, I would have said Ravens immediately because they're really hot right now too. I think Derrick Henry has one more showstopper performance in him. I'm going to go Titans.
All right. I think Baltimore has been hot. They're the hot team this year. Was Tennessee was more hot at the right time last year. I'll take the visiting Ravens. Meanwhile, Chicago is at New Orleans.
Saints.
Yeah, you
Saints.
Just, we can
Sorry,
hope
Bears
that
fans.
The Bears win. If the Bears win, they will be the ones at Lambeau next weekend as the 7th seed, but I'll take the Saints. Finally, Cleveland at Pittsburgh. Cleveland, a lot of COVID-19 problems.
Yeah, great story with Cleveland getting back in the playoffs for the first time in, what, 18 years, but I'll go Pittsburgh here.
I agree with you. Our one disagreement, I've got Baltimore, you've got Tennessee.
All right, we'll see who's right. In the meantime, Howell's Labor of Love, and this one, best of the week, best of what, 2-3 weeks now?
Yeah, best of recent weeks here, mostly this week, but best of recent times on the Wib Wake Up Show.
Take a listen.
Lynn says she can't stand it when dudes wear baggy jeans. Unused belt loops sagging way down below their knees. So guys, be a good neighbor and give her some relief. She'd rather see your Wranglers than boxers or those briefs.
All right, we've got some wacky warning labels to get to here, Caleb.
Yes. A label on a baby stroller, real label. Remove child before folding stroller.
Yeah, it was a great show. It's a great show. You know, Zoom comedy is sort of like this weird hybrid between live comedy and radio, you know. And it's a little weird. You know, you can, like, see everyone's house, and they're all sitting there. And it's like, you know, the old adage, they say, if you're nervous before a show, you should just picture your audience in their underwear. Yeah. These people actually were in their underwear, some of them. So, you know.
I want to give you some props today because today marks, you know, your first broadcast in 2021 and 10 consecutive years for you on The Morning Show. And that's a big deal. I mean, you wear the sales and promotions hat here, but I mean, 10 years on The Morning Show. Sometimes it's been as early as 5 in the morning, other times 7. But I mean, committed and a huge integral part of The Morning Show and inform, entertain, inspire. Thank you.
I had no idea, but I know I'm coming up on, goodness.
10
what
years.
What is it? 12 years at the station.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So anyhow, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Hey, you know what? Over the weekend, I mean, I did some shopping too on Saturday. And at one point, I mean, I had the rudest, slowest, nastiest cashier. I mean, I guess it's my own fault for using the self-checkout lane.
Oh, man. A real warning label on a household iron. Never iron clothes while they are being worn.
Don't want to cramp your style, but fellas, can't you see? You don't need a size 50 if your waist is 33. We'd all like to see London and maybe someday France. But one thing we don't need to see is all these underpants.
A malaphore is when you mix two different expressions up, like, we'll burn that bridge when we come to it.
Butchered expressions, you've opened this can of worms, now lie in it.
A label on a hairdryer. Never use hairdryer while sleeping.
I'm not even sure how that would work. Hey, what is a penguin's favorite relative?
I don't know.
Antarctica.
Okay.
Come on, you gotta give me something.
Dad joke on that one. All right, dad joke. I've got with me what I have, some pretzels.
Yikes.
Inside of a plastic container.
Pretzel rods. Nice.
The pretzel rods. And so my wife was like, you can take that stuff out to the garbage. And I was not. I'm like, these are pretzels. She's like, yeah, they're stale. I'm like, I'll eat them.
Yeah.
So then, I mean, then you have to, like, demonstrate. So I open the lid and take a bite. And sure, yeah, it's stale, but I'm like, I can still eat it. It's,
like,
here's the thing, Caleb. There's no mold on them.
Right?
Isn't that the standard?
Well, and here's the thing. I think you go, actually, can they mold?
Probably
not. I don't know
not.
How that works with pretzels. I think they just get more
but,
and more
I mean,
stale.
But, I mean, I'm just like, they're edible. Have some coffee with them.
Sure. Wacky warning labels on the Wib Wake Up Show. A warning on an electric drill made for carpenters. This product not intended for use as a dental drill. What precipitated that warning label being put on there?
All these underpants.
Buy a belt! I don't think we've ever had that many references to undergarments in one best of the week.
Just worked out that way.